world. You are listening to Golden Soccer Show on Valley Free Radio. WXOJLP Northampton, 103.3 FM. Streaming at valleyfreeradio.org. Each week, Golden Soccer Show offers an unforgiving mixture of incompetence and magic. You've heard me say it a thousand times, get used to it. We are amateurs in the true sense of the word, and that we love what we do, and also amateurs in the colloquial sense of the word, and that we're not particularly good at it. But, spirited. Right, Eddie? Check our blog at soccershow.blogspot.com. Subscribe to the podcast, the blog, or the iTunes store. And finally, you can email the show at soccershow@gmail.com. Soccershow@gmail.com. And we've been getting some emails, I'm not afraid to admit. With me in the studio today is, in order of pork barrel spending. It's a term I've learned recently, pork barrel spending. Nick, are you familiar with that term?
Vaguely familiar.
Okay. Well, let's not introduce you because you're last in terms of pork barrel spending. First, in terms of pork barrel spending, Frank Sleegers is on the show. Frank, what is the term? Oh, yeah, ambassador to Tugend. And Germany correspondent Frank Sleegers.
Hello. I'm going to be on the show again for 2 weeks of three weeks of absence.
That's right. Next in pork barrel spending is our British correspondent and all around footballing anorak, Eddie Kennedy.
Good morning, listeners.
Good morning.
And good morning, Carson.
Thank you, Eddie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all, my friend.
Just make sure we have you pumped up there. I hope everyone can hear you.
Good evening, good morning, wherever you are.
That's perfect. There we go. That's perfect. And lastly, but not leastly, the center back of the Golden Soccer Show defense and Rocky Mountain West correspondent, last in pork barrel spending, is Nick Stocks.
Hello. Hello, listeners, Carson. And both of you, actually.
Good morning, you too.
Good morning, Nick.
Both of you. Very international show today. I'm not afraid to admit to our listeners that Eddie and Frank have already started their little pregame jabbing. There have been some mentions of who won a certain World Cup, who won another certain World Cup.
Well, they win the World Cups, but I'm fairly
I just want to dig a little bit.
It's all right, no problem at all.
We'll see if I can get out. See if that's the same tune you're singing at the end of the show. Today on the show, it's going to be, this is a wide open show with a lot of access to our true natures, to genius. We're going to have geniuses actually in the room with us today. In fact, genius is also outside the room today. We have a visitor whose name is Nat something.
Nat something.
Nat, I don't know your last name. But Nat, huge fan, friend of mine. As you can tell, good friend whose last name I don't know. But he likes the show so much that he just wanted to witness it happening. I mean, what do you guys think about that? Do you sort of feel sorry for him? Or?
I think there should be more of it.
What do you think, Frank? You like it?
Yeah, I like it. Because he talks to him.
He does talk to him.
Does talk to him.
So we could actually do a show with him.
We'll think about that. We'll think about an entire show of German. Not this week, however. Also on the show today, we're going to have 10 minutes of Eddie Kennedy. And I think we're going to be examining the state of union in Mancunia. Is that how you say it?
People's Republic of Mancunia.
That's right. And Eddie was not afraid to wear some of his Manchester United garb to work today. But you got it on, I see.
Absolutely. Proud to wear the colors.
That's right. That's why they call him Eddie Kennedy.
That's exactly right.
Let's see. Pagelli of the last show. Let's do a little self-assessment again.
More self-assessment.
Oof. How do you think that went last time?
It went well.
Pagelli of the last show. Nick, you want to start? Center back of the Golden Soccer Show defense?
Yeah, I'll give myself a 6.
Yeah.
Why not?
Solid performance?
Sure. I shouldn't give myself less than that. No. Make me feel bad.
Yeah, you got them on
you. I don't want to feel bad.
You don't want to feel bad. If
I feel solid,
good. Then be confident in yourself.
Eddie.
7.
Eddie, never lacking of confidence.
Certainly not.
You brought it, huh?
I thought that it was probably one of the best shows we've done since I've been here.
I agree with it. I agree with
a lot of other people have agreed with that as well.
Yeah. I thought that, because, you know, it takes time to sort of get used to, like an actual team.
Yeah, it takes time.
Yeah, you got to get used to your partner's moves, where they're going to be, where they'll be when you pass it. And I think that's what we're getting used to. I give myself probably, I'd say a 6 to 6.5. I thought it was a good show.
It was a very good show.
It was a good show.
My wife, good morning, Linda, said she came away from that listening to that show, listening objectively, not subjectively. She said, I came away from that show, I've learned something.
Get out.
Honest to God.
This is the first person ever to say that about this show. Usually people say...
what on earth was all that about?
But they say that show actually made me dumber.
No. Fitting in with the Valley Free Radio remit, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're probably not mistaken.
But say
Delictata? What does that mean? Oh, that's Latin, you just said.
No.
We don't do that in
the No. They stopped doing Latin at my school when I was 15 years of age, so...
Yeah. You know when they never stopped doing Latin, though? In your heart. Latin never stops in your heart. It's the official language of Tukin as well, I understand.
Yeah.
And that hasn't stopped yet. We do have some emails. I will say that our emails actually... let's read Jody's email. Jody's email is sort of gestures at what's to come today. She says, Dearest Soccer Show, thank you for playing me on the radio. I feel so proud and loved. You'll remember that Jody wrote in last week and suggested everyone watch me dance. And if you have done that, then I apologize. She says, I realize that fans of the Carson dancing should also know that he was just dancing like that to no music. Just dancing around my and Callie's living room when I came home one day. I found him like that and asked if I could tape it. Said, okay, magical. And magic is actually part of Goal of the Soccer Show remake. Incompetence and magic. Those are our two key words. And I think that we're, at this point...
We fill them in spades.
Yeah, definitely. And she says, also, I heard on the radio this week that there was some serious stuff going down between Manchester United fans and the Italian police. I thought it would be fun to hear a little dramatic reenactment between Carson and Eddie. Carson, you play a brutal Italian cop. Eddie, you play a drunken but loving Manchester United fan. Let's see how far my position as host girlfriend and ex-roommate will carry me. She used to live with Callie. I don't think we're going to do that, Eddie.
Neither do I, not for one moment.
No, but I think that that maybe later we'll do it.
You can think now for the show.
I think that maybe by the end of the show, Frank and Eddie will be performing something along those lines. Frank is actually wearing riot gear, which I didn't expect.
Certainly, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
It's a very blue helmet, Frank.
Blue helmet?
Yeah.
It's cold out.
I know. Eddie, I know what you're talking about. It's disgusting. Yeah, Eddie has his Man U thing, Sherman, and Frank is dressed for his
street babble.
For street.
I
do just like to dress up like a person at a Renaissance festival. Do you like do you like these ruffles?
I like the robe.
It's a nice robe. It's pretty expensive.
Yeah,
that's only so funny. But I like these emails from Jody. I think they're working pretty well. And look at Jody. She's just a girl out on the street. Not out on the streets, but
making some kids.
out in public, at least. And she's hearing about Man U and Roma. Now, Eddie, I'm not going to say you loose on that yet, okay? There's a time and a place.
I am ready.
But when we hand it over to you.
I am ready.
All right. It's going to be good. We also have an email from Arthur that I think we might work into your segment because he deals pretty. It might be a good way to set you off.
Mm-hmm. His email last week was excellent.
Oh yeah, Arthur's been real serious. He's been a really good contribution to the show. He didn't even play on our youth team at all. He just came right up to the top of the first. We do have some. I assume we have some shout outs. Eddie?
Yeah, good morning, Dolly. Morning, Linda.
Alan?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay. Hello. live in Montenegro, and unfortunately couldn't make it to the show.
Oh, that's right. They did visit, didn't they?
Yeah, we were here for the last couple weeks.
Right? Yeah, but just too old.
Yeah, I heard that it was because they were too beautiful.
Yeah, cute family you have there.
Beautiful, and therefore this sort of, if anyone else has seen the Valley for Radio Studios, they're scrappy, no doubt. But they have their own intrinsic beauty.
Yeah.
But not the sort of glamorous beauty that your wife and daughter possess. I would also like to give a heartfelt shout out to my lady friend Callie. I will tell you guys and listeners that, and if you remember last week, I gave a dramatic pause before I said hello to Callie. This did not go over well. And I was
verbally thrashed.
Yeah, I was punished. I was actually given a red card.
You were given a red card. Straight red, was it?
Yeah, straight red.
Not just a second yellow.
Sent off immediately. And, no question. I couldn't even appeal the case.
You went to the FA.
There was nothing. No appeals process available in that court of law. It's just a
wise lesson learned for us all.
So I would like to say, and I would like to say a heartfelt, deep, I love you too, Callie. And I want to talk about something in a second. First, I want to give a shout out also to Zambia and Peru.
They've joined
the Golden Soccer Show community.
Fantastic.
Zambia and Peru.
Wow.
All the way from Zambia to Peru.
Yeah.
Golden Soccer Show.
Sneaking up on the UN every week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
No,
not FIFA, yeah. And then I would like to just return to the issue of Callie, is that last night in old France, as they call it, she went to an Olympique Marseille game versus Lille. Mm-hmm. And she said, best experience ever.
I can well imagine.
Transcendent.
Where was it played? In Marseille?
In Marseille at the Velodrome.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I know that they're spirited fans. She said they sang the entire time at the different curves. She was sort of towards the middle. She had these great seats. She got to see Samir Nasri and Franck Ribéry up close.
Wow.
In the yards. And Olympique Marseille won 4-1 with some nice midfield play. Oh, I can't even talk about Nasri and Ribéry. They're just so dominant. They just take it to their team, their fists, except not their fists. It's like their feet are their fists. Does that make sense to anyone?
In a roundabout kind of way.
Fists.
Yeah, feet, fists.
Feet.
Yeah, you got it, Trump. You're on top of it. What else are we supposed to talk about? I thought maybe before we jumped into too much in the way of Eddie Kennedy, because who knows when he'll stop once he starts. He doesn't.
No.
I thought we might just share some news from the past week. You know, last Monday, I had suggested that the Aston Villa Everton game would be played, and I was excited about it. And what a game! Did you see that, Eddie?
No, I missed that one.
The second half of the game, Aston Villa played about as well as any team I've ever seen. And John Carew, man, he was in charge. You know,
he is a player who's played at the top level for a good number of years. He's played in European Cup. I think he's played in European Cup finals, but if he's not, he's got right to the sharp end of the Champions League, and he's scored goals when it matters at the highest level.
And, I'm always sort of skeptical. There's a model that I think is especially popular in British football, which is the hold-up striker.
Yeah.
You know, a target striker guy.
Always been the case.
Yeah. And I'm a little skeptical as to how valuable it is sometimes. There are guys who are so-called target men, but maybe just are just huge but not that skilled.
It's something that, in my opinion, is a useful option to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are a centre-forward who is, say, only 5'8", 5'9", and you're up against some great big 6'3", 6'4" centre half, well then you sometimes need to have an alternative. I mean, I don't, for example, take a classic case in point, Peter Crouch of Liverpool.
Yeah.
He's not the most skillful footballer there's ever been. I remember the first time I saw him, was for England under-21s against Portugal, which was played at Stoke. And my first reaction was, who the hell is that?
Right.
This 6'7" beanpole on the football pitch.
He looks disabled and
so he's ungainly with his coordination. But the crux of the matter is, you have to say hats off to him when it matters. He scores goals.
Right.
I mean, the hat trick he scored against Arsenal the other week. The perfect hat trick.
It was pretty. Yeah, he did everything, right. Didn't he?
Left foot, right foot, and a header.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an option. If I was picking manager of a squad, it would be something I would have. I wouldn't necessarily play it from the off.
No, that's actually why they call me the perfect lover, Eddie. Because I use my left foot, my right foot, and my header.
So you score in the perfect way, do you?
Yeah, that's right.
Especially
yeah.
After saying sorry to. For, I'll remember your name next time.
Maybe not entirely appropriate. But it's still funny, though.
Yeah, it's a little funny.
Yeah, not that funny.
Not. We're still sat on the chair, we're not on the floor, but carry on.
All right, well, in terms of carrying, no, look at this. What other news? Anyway, John Carew is
a fine player.
Fabulous fine play. And also, I would like to announce little Nicky over here, Nick Stocks. You know, I like to make it known when one of Golda Soccer Show family has found a team. Last fall, for example, Kevin Meek became a little hot and heavy with Celtic. Right. There's something about the club.
Fine club.
He was drawn to the club. And he just found himself, you know, resonating with his, you know, with his...
I've been there. Been to Celtic.
That's right, yeah, you mentioned that. But Nick, this past week...
Yeah, I sort of developed a little club crush on Reading. And I like the story of them, and I like the way they look on the field, because they're these just little, teeny little guys. And they look like they're 17, playing professional football.
Reading have been outstanding in the Premiership this season.
Yeah. They've done really well.
They've done fantastically well.
They have a lot of funny little players.
Yeah.
Because they have Stephen Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's maybe, what, 5'2", 5'3", and he has this long hair. Glenn Little, who's like 35, I think.
Yeah, he's getting towards the end of his career.
He's a fantastic winger. And they have Dave Kitson and Steve Sidwell, who have this bright as fire red hair.
Yeah. And, of course, they have one of your countrymen in goals. Marcus Hammonds,
who is also a little bit of a weirdo.
Yeah, it is a fielded team of weirdos.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you embrace weirdos.
Well, I try to, as much as humanly possible.
Just walking around on the street, actually.
Yeah.
And Steve Koppel's kind of an interesting coach.
Steve Koppel is a fine manager.
Yeah,
he's a very educated man.
Is that right?
Got a degree in economics. I'll carry on.
I just got a degree in scoring confidence.
Degree in economics, was playing part-time for Tranmere Rovers, then was signed by Tommy Docherty for Manchester United. Played on the right wing for several years for us, until...
Oh, he's a right winger, huh? Well, he's not invited on.
And then, unfortunately, injury cut his career short.
Yeah. But maybe it started his coaching career early.
Which he did. He went to manage Crystal Palace. And we spent 30 days as manager of Manchester City.
Only 30. And I know he coached Brighton, too.
Yes.
Brighton and Hove Albion.
Yeah. And now he's settled in Reading. He's done a great job. And in my opinion, he's the candidate for manager of the year. In England, yeah.
Probably everyone's candidate for Soccer Radio Show and Podcast of the Year is Golda Soccer Show.
Absolutely.
Which will be back in a short minute, just after this little message about everyone's favorite country, Venezuela. Please join us on the other side of the break. Thank you very much for listening to Golda Soccer Show.
As George Bush needs an economic imperialism around the world in which the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, the crying emerging opposition is from Latin America. Hugo Chavez's left-wing government in Venezuela is leading the way. Chavez calls for a, quote, 21st century socialism, and he has the support of over 60% of voters in Venezuela. How is the revolutionary movement in Venezuela developing? Rhode Island resident Shane Jones recently returned from a trip to Caracas, and he reports on what's happening in Venezuela this Wednesday, April 11th, at 6 p.m. at Franklin Patterson Hall, Hampshire College. Thursday, April 11th at 6 p.m. at Franklin Patterson Hall, Hampshire College. What's happening in Vegas Green Law? For more information, call 413-559-7135.
But the man needs to
have a quality tune.
Yeah, quality tune. Top of the charts.
We did have a number one in England once.
Really?
Yeah. Number one record.
Who, Man U?
Yeah.
What was the record called?
It was called Glory Glory Man United.
Oh.
It was our 1994 FA Cup final song.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Did you not know that? We'd have a number one record as well as winning every trophy in the country.
Oh, I'm really happy for you guys.
You should be. So you should be.
Really, really happy. This is also, listen, Eddie, this is your time to shine. I assume you're going to say something about Man U and Roma at some point. Let me read Arthur's email.
Please do.
And maybe you can use it as something to respond off of.
Sure. Good morning, Arthur, by the way.
Yeah, good morning, Arthur, wherever you are, whenever you are. He says, Carson, I don't really have anything to write about. It's not that there aren't topics in the past week that interest me. It's just that I'm so speechless after hearing about what unfolded after the Roma-Man U game. After watching the video of the Italian police repeatedly beating at the fallen Man U fan, you begin to expect such atrocity after every final whistle. At the start of the MLS season this past week, I think that what happened in Italy gave the casual American sports fan who's looking into soccer for the first time an aspect of soccer being this awful sport in which violence is part of its nature. Excluding what happened after the game itself was pretty amusing. I have to say I was pretty impressed by Cristiano Ronaldo. Being one man down and helping Rooney score that goal with an amazing cross makes you wonder where Man U would be in the Premiership table this year if they didn't have him. I also saw the Man U Portsmouth game. I think Man U's busy schedule just finally took its toll on the team. I actually predict Chelsea to win the league again. I think as Chelsea's roster is much deeper and a busy schedule, it won't be a problem for them. Eddie Kennedy may disagree. let's see. Another game I saw was the Fire versus the Revolution. Nothing from that really is worth mentioning.
No,
by the way, thanks for that link regarding... Oh, I won't talk about that. There's a little secret link I can't tell everyone else about. he says, oh! No, it's good stuff, though. And he says, oh, and I have a blog that I started that I hope you check out. It's about sports, but inspired by your show. I hope that it serves as the internet version of your show, not stressing scores, but love of sport. My latest entry is about soccer, the best 11 for the month of March. It's thefeverpitch.blogspot.com.
Fever Pitch, fine film.
Thefeverpitch.blogspot.com. And he says he's linked to our show as well. And what does he say? He always signs off as Arthur. He says, I know you may be wondering if I have a last name or if I'm from Brazil, just having one name.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not actually Brazilian, and I do have a given last name. It's just that I have a background that's of European diversity, Russian, Swedish, German, Ukrainian, others he doesn't know about. My last name fits my background. It's so hard to pronounce that I can't even pronounce it. I've changed the way I pronounce it like 3 times in my life.
Maybe I think we'll leave it at Arthur.
Yeah. So, and Arthur the Brazilian.
Arthur the... He's a Brazilian. One of the wannabe Brazilian.
Yeah, he's a Brazilian in our hearts. But some rich stuff there from Arthur, and I assume it's going to...
I'm thinking. Well, this last week was not a good week.
Let's just announce the results.
Okay. First one, on Wednesday when we played Roma in the Champions League, we were beaten 2-1. The goals we conceded were scruffy goals. Poor defending, I will say so when we have to. I would have expected a goalkeeper of Edwin van der Sar's experience and quality to have handled that better, and for our defence to be slightly more alert in mopping up the rebound, considering how Ji-Sung Park scored one of the goals against Blackburn the previous weekend was exactly the way they scored, mopping on the rebound. We did... Scoring that away goal is more than crucial. The goal expertly executed between Cristiano Ronaldo on the break, great cross from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and Wayne Rooney to score his first Champions League goal for nearly 3 years. He took it exceptionally well. So 1-0 tomorrow night, and we're through. Only needs one goal.
The game is tomorrow, huh?
The game is tomorrow on ESPN2.
All right.
Over here. We need to tighten up in defence. I think Rio needs to get a grip of himself and concentrate for 100 minutes, let alone 90 minutes. Mm. Because the second goal that we conceded against Portsmouth on Saturday when we lost 2-1 again was nothing short of shambolic. To score it for an England international, United captain for the day, to put it in his own net because he wasn't quite looking. Oh, Edwin, you're there. Oh, hello, Edwin. Sorry, didn't see you.
Yeah, explain the goal. Explain the goal because I didn't get a chance to see.
Well, basically, it was a long ball through, which Rio kind of mopped up, and then he was going to knock it back to Edwin van der Sar to clear up field. But what had happened was van der Sar was slightly to the right of him, and then all Rio did was just pass it towards what he thought was Edwin van der Sar, but what was in fact an empty net.
So it just trickled.
Trickled painfully, like a slow death.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Yeah. It was not nice watching. No, we were tired. There were players on that pitch who, quite frankly, shouldn't be in the Manchester United squad for next season.
I think I may have scored a goal like that in my high school career.
You've actually had the misfortune to
score some goal. I believe so.
I did once in practice, but I've never done it when I played for my high school. So, you know, I don't thank God for that.
I score a defense player.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. One goal for Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah, but you know, we got one towards the end through John O'Shea, the much maligned but underrated and highly valued John O'Shea, in my opinion. And for the last 2 minutes, it was like the Alamo.
Oh, I've heard that metaphor used.
And if anything, the fact that David James was hoping to equal the Premiership clean sheet record of set by David Seaman.
Yeah.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Yeah. It's nautical in nature.
Yeah. the look on his face when John O'Shea scored, because he'd gone on record that week saying, there'd be nothing better for me to do than to equal the clean sheet record against Manchester United.
Right.
So, and he didn't. So.
Now, I noticed you talk about the Alamo. Now, mm-hmm. The Alamo was a battle in American history.
Correct.
And there were some other battles going on in the stands of Rome.
In the stands of Rome, yeah. The police, heavy-handed.
No
two ways about it. They were totally out of order. Yeah. To control a football crowd in that manner is nothing short of disgraceful. The Italian authorities should look into other ways of having grounds policed, for want of a better expression. The fact that the grounds are not owned by the clubs, they're owned by the municipalities. For example, the two Milan teams play at the San Siro, Lazio and Roma play at the Stadio Olimpico. A telling quote was that one Greek player said he thinks one ex-Greek player is now a president of a Greek side. He thinks that Greek clubs should be kicked out of Europe. He said it worked for English clubs, which it did. We were kicked out for 5 years from 1985 to 1990 to get our house in order, which we have done. Domestically, there's no trouble at English grounds. I went for 22 years.
So you want to kick out the grounds?
It might do them a world of good, actually.
Yeah.
Because I've got some statistics here.
Oh, watch out.
I have been
we don't usually embrace facts or evidence.
I don't care. Three Middlesbrough fans were stabbed during fights at the UEFA Cup quarterfinal last year in Rome. 6 years ago, 14 Liverpool fans were stabbed at a UEFA Cup tie. In March, a Leeds fan was slashed before a UEFA Cup game. In October the same year, two Arsenal fans were stabbed before a Champions League game against Roma's City rivals Lazio. So,
a lot of stabbing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize people still stab.
Yeah, they do. There was one guy who got a taxi to the last Wednesday, got a taxi to the ground, was dropped off at the wrong part of the ground
Ooh.
by a slightly sleazy, evil taxi driver. And him and his two or three friends who he was with, they were ambushed by people with machetes and chains with padlocks on. Whoops. Culture in Italy, yeah. I mean, we saw what happened in Catania in February.
No, when I was saying about Catania, just remember that another scandal, actually, that the police wasn't killed by he was hurt by another policeman. And now it came out like eight weeks after.
Well, that if that's how they look after their own, you know, it begs the question, how can they police a crowd of 70-odd thousand?
Well, now I'm going to say that, to my mind, at some level, this is coming into Nick's Doc's territory at some level. I mean, Nick, you sort of have some of the facts. You know, what do you think? What do you think about what Eddie's saying here?
Well, I just think, I think that in a situation like that, where the violence either perpetrated by the fans or the police against the fans is something that is really legitimate, you have to watch, you have to really be aware of what kind of statistics you're quoting, because
I will say that
only because it's sort of an issue, violence that's perpetrated because of soccer, or violence that's perpetrated because you have a lot of people in a crowd. And large crowds like that are targets for people that are going to do that stuff anyways. Should we ban public parks because people
get... No, there's certain contributory factors. The fact that there was supposed to have been an alcohol ban, and that was not enforced. I would say that English fans, when we go into Europe, we are not used to the liberal licensing laws that are prevalent over there. I will say we're not completely blameless, not by any stretch of the imagination, because of the antiquated licensing laws we have in Britain, where we're not used to drinking over long, for the greater opportunity to go out and drink, because drink does feel...
Well, but I disagree.
Which we do, but it's something that's in... I agree with you, Frank, 150%, but... This is the situation we have. It's something that needs to be put right in Britain.
Yeah.
But I also believe that although we didn't exactly react in the correct way, the English fans were fighting both in Rome and in Seville the following night. The fact that the police reacted in the way that they did...
Yeah. That's ultimately
totally out of order.
That's ultimately, that's certainly, I agree with you. I agree with you there.
They cannot be expected to do that. The fact that you're getting people knocked out of wheelchairs, people who are already very virtually unconscious, the Italians need to look at their own house and put their own house in order.
Well, I just say, have you seen the video? Because I was actually watching the game, and then I saw the sort of, you know, during halftime, they just showed these images of people getting beaten. I was like, that was crazy. But yet, and then having gone back to YouTube a couple times, it's a really striking image, especially at one point the camera pulls back, and you get a sense, you get a real feeling that humans, it's a real reminder that humans are animals, because it's almost as if, you know, in that open space in Stadio Olimpico, they're all sort of scattering, like, they look like insects almost, you know, the way they're all scattering about and beating each other, like, this is not, you don't get the feeling that it's something that, at least for me, it's something that I see that often.
You know? No, you won't. No, it's something that, for me, it was like going back 30 years.
Yeah.
It was, ugh.
Well, you'd have more hair.
Well, and I'd be nine.
But, I mean, it's certainly something, yeah, I mean, as a fan who doesn't know too much about the situation, it's certainly, you know, you don't really get that a lot in American sport either.
No, you don't.
You know, you want to protect people who want to see the game, but at the same time, you know, and I know that there's been a movement. I was reading in last month's When Saturday Comes that there's a movement at some level among English supporters to sort of emulate the best parts of the Italian ultras, you know, because there have been criticisms leveled against British soccer is that because of certain rules and regulations, they've taken out some of the animation.
Yeah, the atmosphere is not as good.
Right. So there's a balance because you want to go. And, you know, the other thing is who ought to be the fans? You know, is it because clearly it's become a more, decidedly middle-class game.
Sure.
And along with it becoming...
Which is one of the reasons that the police acting the way that they did looks so despicable. I mean, really what you see in that game is, like, the first level of the unveiling of, like, the sort of, like, atrocities the police can do to people. And really, like, beating people with, like, sticks is not that bad compared to other things that
right.
they sort of do on a more regular basis that is unseen.
Right. But because it's probably happening to...
It's happening to people who have an investment in sort of, like, what middle-class sort of ideas of, like, what sort of violence should or should... What should or should not happen in a situation like that. And I completely agree with people that should not happen in a soccer game. But it's an interesting facet of, like, how... Who watches the sport now and what it looks like
right.
compared to maybe what it did a long time ago.
30 years ago. When Eddie had hair.
When he was nine.
Well,
a rambunctious 9-year-old, I'm sure.
Very good boy, 9-year-old.
Very good boy. There's obviously a lot of opinion on this particular subject. To go back to Manchester United on the field, briefly. Mm-hmm. Eddie suggests that he thinks Chelsea are going to win the league.
You mean Alpha does?
Yes. That's what I mean. Or Eddie doesn't think that at all.
Eddie thinks that we will go all the way.
Right.
Yeah.
I believe it's the last match of the season, Man U versus Chelsea.
The ultimate game of the season.
It's an ultimate game. That's going to be crazy.
That will be. Winner takes all.
It'll almost definitely be.
It will be. If Chelsea's goal difference improves dramatically.
It would have to improve dramatically.
Dramatically, because that will... That
yeah.
will...
Referee. Yellow card.
That would have to improve dramatically for us. It could go down to the fact that we may win it on goal difference.
Yeah, well, yeah, that would make sense, because you have the feeling that both these teams are going to win out. I think... Is it Man U or Chelsea who has Arsenal left, though?
Chelsea
have Arsenal left. And Arsenal... Now, I watched part of the Arsenal-West Ham match. As a football fan, Arsenal outshot West Ham 28-4, I think it was.
They had 28 shots on goal.
14 or 15 shots on goal.
We're on top.
To, like, three. And they lost...
And they lost 1-2-0? 1-0?
1-0.
1-0.
I was just thinking, a couple weeks ago I gave a shout-out to Henry Stott on the show,
mm-hmm.
who works for, he's one of the sort of on the front lines now of using quantitative analysis, which has become very important to American sport. He does it now for soccer.
Okay.
But I would like to ask him, what are the odds of outshooting your opponent 15, 16 shots on goal to three and losing? Having 15 shots on goal and not even scoring a goal. What are the chances? Because I had a vested interest in that game.
Oh, yeah, you went to the old turf account.
It's
all right.
And
you bit your weekend, huh?
It did, yeah. It stabbed me. It was a stabbing.
Not a lie. Tell me why.
Yeah. What did I do, Frank? Who's calling, Frank? You know, you're going to talk about it if you don't want.
That's why football is such an interesting game. It takes a second to score a goal, as a very famous old manager once said.
Yeah, I guess it's all...
They say the same thing about hockey as well. Less than a second.
Less than a
second. What do you say to them?
Yeah.
Different game, different goal, yeah.
no less relevant, I'm sure. You're listening to Go to Soccer Show. Let's take another brief break, maybe a little preview for another... I don't even know what we're going to do. Whatever you get is what you get. I love you all. Come back and join us on the other side of the break. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening to Ghost Talk Show. We'll be right back. Bye.
My name is Jose Tos, and I'd like to invite you to join me on calls for Friday morning. Calls can be heard every Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. On calls, you'll hear the blues, rhythm and blues, doo-wop, Motown, jazz standards, Latin new soul, reggae, music from throughout the Caribbean, music from across the continent of Africa, songs of love, songs of hope, and songs of resistance. Call us for a Friday morning, XOJLP in Northampton.
That as theme music to the match today. Other people might recognize it as the music that played as Eddie and his wife, his very newly wedded wife,
5 months and 2 days.
But at the time, incredibly newly wedded.
Perhaps incredibly about an hour.
And they walked back down. He had this theme music to match the day from playing at his wedding.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you try that? Did you try to do the Gladbach theme music?
Give us a day.
No, unfortunately not. And, well, talking to Gladbach, so maybe we should play a Requiem.
Requiem? Oh, for a little Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Yeah, the last in the league.
Yeah.
The last again, Schalke 04.
Yeah. They're going to go down to Bundesliga 2.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, that's okay, you know?
Yes.
Better than Bundesliga 3.
Yes, and 4.
another guy who knows a little bit about Bundesliga action, who knows a little bit about German culture in general, is our friend Nat here. Nat, you got to get ready. You got to make out with that microphone if you want to be heard. How you doing, Nat?
Well, it's warm in that studio out there. Actually, I fell asleep right after you said I was really something, and I woke up to hear you talking about Arthur, the Brazilian, and I thought that you probably don't realize that I actually don't have a last name, but not because I'm Brazilian. And so
just Nat.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we'll just call you Nat.
So we're going to keep on. Yeah.
Nat, you're on the show. You're on the show for a couple of reasons. You're at the studio because you're a fan of the show.
Right.
And also because we're friends. Or you're more of a fan of the show than we are friends.
Right.
We're also sort of enemies.
We're not friends because I'm a fan of the show.
No. We were friends first and enemies second, and then you were a fan of the show.
Right.
Yeah. You stated before that you have a soft spot for the rough stuff.
And peace out, cousin, please.
And Golden Soccer Show is the rough stuff at a certain level. Now, what was your sort of intention of coming down to the studio today?
Well, it's not to be on the show. I had no motives.
I didn't say you did. You don't mind being on the show.
No. I kind of thought I would be in the studio and not saying anything instead of in the antechamber talking to myself. But
did you want to be in here?
No. No, it's too late.
Oh, you should. No,
it's great. So, I mean, let's do a pop quiz. Just kidding. But I did have sort of something to throw out to the group. Everyone here probably knows that Carson is, in his nightlife, he's a published poet, and he studied with a published poet named Kenneth Koch, who wrote a published poem, a long poem, called On Aesthetics. And a section of that poem is the aesthetics of Robert Musil. I told Carson earlier that I thought I had a soccer reference, and now I'm thinking that I may be misreading. And I think that I can remember the relevant section, so if it's all right, I'll give it a shot.
I'd love you to.
See if you guys can stop it from, going in the wrong goal. Okay. So you did.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Carson, that was weeks ago. I told you that I'm flabbergasted. Well,
fine, yeah, bring it.
All right, so let's see, aesthetically speaking, life, oh dear. Well, so the significant, I'm going to just skip right to it, but without context, I hope you can connect. So, kicking, passing the ball, and rushing. Well, that's all I'm going to be able to come up with here. So, given that, rushing, would that be soccer? I mean, when I first read this, you know, was thinking kicking, passing the ball. Kenneth Koch was clearly thinking about soccer in this very moving poem. But rushing, I don't know. Then I started to think it must be the American soccer.
Robert Musil?
Yeah.
Do you know that name, Frank?
No.
No.
Man ohne Eigenschaften?
Rushing. Rushing.
You gotta Google it.
Rushing is. How do you spell the last name?
The last name?
Yeah.
I've got the poem in the antechamber. I didn't want to bring it in. I didn't want to come with an agenda. So.
No. Go ahead and get it.
All right.
This is already fantastic. Now, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you like soccer.
I love it.
But I think that. You know, I request you be flexible in this.
I'm open to.
This is the sort of thing that goes down here.
Yeah, I'm open.
What do you have there?
All right, so this is the second section of a section from Kenneth Coates on aesthetics and aesthetics of Robert Musil. And aesthetically, one must say that inside a meaningless hole, significant particulars exist. Kicking, passing the ball, and rushing may fill us with life, and even a one-sided game that is ended by freezing rain. So I thought soccer right away, but then...
Well, how do you spell Musil?
I don't know why that's relevant, but M-U-S-I-L.
Well, because I was going to look up who Robert Musil was.
Oh, I can tell you about Robert Musil.
Oh, why don't you just tell us?
Okay, the Austrian novelist, man without qualities, sort of one of the great pre-war literary figures of European modernism.
Just to name a few.
Yeah, but, nothing to do with soccer as far as I can tell. It seemed to be sort of more of a Marcel Proust kind of aesthetician, not a rough and tumble kind of, yeah.
Did he do a lot of crying for his mommy? Because that's sort of what all of Remembrance of Things Past is.
Sure, I don't know anything about that.
One long cry out for his mommy.
So what would be the soccer equivalent?
Well, I mean, Carson, you studied with Kenneth Koch, and you think soccer?
One time, yes, I have a soccer-related anecdote with
him. Okay,
that's
what I'm praying for.
There's one time I went to Columbia University. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying I went there. I was in his class, a measurement running class, but I skipped a class. Uh-huh. And I skipped a class to play soccer. But then he came out of the building, and the pitch on which we were playing is like a little field, was right outside. I don't know what I was thinking. It was right outside the building.
So you got caught right under.
Yeah, but he's a guy with a definite, he had a good feeling for people following their genius, if you will.
Okay,
you
know, yeah.
The true nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up to him. I was like, oh, hey, Professor Cope, what's going on? What have you been up to recently? What have you been doing these last hour? Because I was playing, oh, you're in class. I was out here. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. And he said, you know what he said? He said, it's all right. I just want to watch you guys play for 10 minutes. So he sat there and just
watched. What a kind man.
And just watched us run around. Because, you know, he was like 75 at the time. You know, and I think he definitely had a lot of respect for youth, I think. And
Jugend.
Jugend?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Jugend, yeah. Yeah, but it's something different than children.
Well, it's youth.
And he had a lot of respect for sort of the vigor and the enthusiasm of youth. And I think he was just like, you know what? He skipped class, but it's not like he was a slack. It's not a total slack off job, you know? He was being led by, you know, whatever divinity is out there.
Yeah, and Frank, I would actually say that in this case, Jugend is not that different from Tugend in Carson's case.
Did the two overlap, Frank?
Yeah, this case has overlap.
Yeah, but it's a rare thing, I guess.
I would put the coincidence of Jugend too was sort of the same.
Is it Y-U-G-E-N-D?
Sure, it's J.
J. Spelled in German.
That's kind of a faux pas that I've just committed, which is a French word. So, look, I'm with you guys.
I wasn't going to, you know, I was going to let our listeners look into it on that one.
This has been a real serious goal of soccer show. I'm not saying serious like earnest. I mean, it has been earnest at times. But we've really run the gamut of all the potential issues. You know, I would
agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, they always say football is all about opinion and different interests combined. It's what combined to make it a beautiful game.
I think it's really been a true portrait of the human condition.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Eight.
Yeah.
Eight, you're giving yourself an eight?
No.
You're giving the show an eight?
Right.
An eight. That's a lot.
I would agree.
I get a two. No, that was only the last quarter of the show.
It's been a very good show on discussing all the relevant issues of the past week. Hmm. And any other side issues that come into it, and I would say wholeheartedly.
Now, with that in mind, we also have quite a European week ahead of us, too, don't we?
We certainly
do. And I think there are going to be some resolutions. That's sort of the interesting structure of the Champions League, I think, and the cup matches in general, is you have the one match, right? You know, in each game is divided into halves, but then you have, it's like sort of one entire match is divided into two halves over the course of a week or 2 weeks, right?
Yes, a two-legged tie, mate.
So the second leg, now, in addition to the Man U Roma game, which offers tons of intrigue, because Roma need to score a goal. Man U need to score a goal.
Yeah.
Roma should score a goal. It's in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
A certain German team, Bayern Munich. Did you hear
that? I watched that game.
It was crazy.
It was a fantastic game.
They showed Tugend, right?
No, they did.
And the winners of that tie play the winners of our tie.
Daniel Van Boyden on a crazy ball. Not a defender's goal. I don't think that was a defender's goal. The left-footed.
It was a clean, crisply struck left-footed volley into the roof of the net.
In between the keeper and the post, there was about a ball's width of space for him to hit. And he hit it.
No, he's a great player. When he's, and I'm very happy for him because he's playing very well. And that's the first game of the season, he wasn't doing that well. Mm-hmm. And now he's really showing all his potential.
And for anyone who hasn't seen Daniel Van Boyden, he is an imposing man figure.
And he's like 7 feet tall.
That's right, he's 7 feet tall. He weighs
with a mane of hair, flowing mane of hair.
Yeah. 4 feet.
He's bigger than any man ever. Well, listen, that marks the end of the Goal of Soccer Show. It's been terrific. Okay? Thank you, Danny Kennedy.
No problem.
Thank you to Nat, just Nat. You don't care? Okay. Thank you to Nick Stocks.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you, dear Frank.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. Thank you, listening audience. Stay tuned for Passions and Survivals, which is sure to follow on the heels of this fantastic show. Thank you very much for listening to WXRJLP Northampton 103.3 FM, Valley Free Radio, streaming at valleyfreeradio.org.